So we're on page 93, starting a new topic, a new theme, and that is going to be the topic of Kedusha, Kadosh. So I think we discussed this word before, but let's do it again. Let's write it down, and let's list it as well. So the word Kadosh comes up a number of times in the Torah and Jewish writings. So I'm giving the example of the various things we refer to as Kadosh. Did we do this once already? I think we did this. I did it once before. Somewhere stern. Different things we refer to as Kadosh. We didn't do this, obviously. Yes. Anybody? What do we refer to as Kadosh in Judaism? Yes. Hashem is Kadosh, that's correct. Right? Yeah. What else? Hashem is Kadosh. Shabbat, very good. Good guess, considering it's a Shabbat course. Anything else? What do you refer to as Kadosh?
The
Beit HaMikdash was Kadosh. HaMikdash, the word Kadosh is in it as well. Okay. What was the holiest place of the Beit HaMikdash? The Kodesh Kedashim, right. The Holy of Holies. What was inside the Kodesh Kedashim? The Aaron, which had the Luchos and the first ever Torah written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Some say it was inside the Aaron, some say it was on a shelf outside. What else? You're missing two big ones.
The
Kruvim, but that's part of the Aaron. What else are referred to as Kadosh in Jewish thought? Eretz Yisrael is Kadosh. That's true. Eretz Yisrael in general is called Kadosh. That is correct. Kadosh is the Eretz we talk about. The holiness of the land itself. Any others? Lashon Kodesh. That's right. Lashon Kodesh. All right. What is that referring to? The language, Hebrew language, is called Kadosh. Hebrew language is called Kadosh. Is that everything? Eretz Yisrael, Beit HaMikdash, Shabbos, Hashem, Kodesh. The Jewish people are called Kadosh. Right? Am Yisrael referring to the Jewish people. Right? The Jews are called Kadosh. So all these things must have something in common. What is that thing? They all have the same word connected to it. What do they have in common? What I'm asking is, what does the word Kadosh literally mean?
Separate.
Separate, right. Separate. We spoke about this, right? Separate. Distinct. Not the same. So the Jewish people are not the same as other nations. Right? We are Amanivcha. We have Lashon Kodesh, Hebrew language. Is a Kedusha, has an inherent holiness embedded inside it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the ultimate Kedusha. Hashem is separate, distinct. Shabbos is Kadosh. It's separate from all the other days of the week. The Beit HaMikdash was a place that was different. Right? It was Kadosh. Eretz Yisrael. Eretz HaKodesh. The Holy Land of Israel. Okay? The Kohanim, actually. Let's add that as well. The Kohanim are referred to as a Goy Kadosh within the Jewish people. So we're a Goy Kadosh. The Jewish people are called a Goy Kadosh, a holy nation. Right? But the Kohanim are referred to as a Kadosh, a Goy Kadosh within us as well. So they're the in-group within the in-group as well. So the word Kadosh means separate, distinct, apart. Not always better. Actually, the biblical way to refer to a, and even the Talmud refers to it, actually, a prostitute is a Kadesha. Why would that same word be used for, you know, a male or female prostitute? And the answer is because that person has separated themselves for licentiousness. Good word, not a good thing though. Okay, so the word Kadosh literally means separate, apart, distinct, not the same. Hopefully elevated, but not necessarily. A person can separate themselves for that as well. Interestingly, there is a machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban. I did not bring it down, but it's worth mentioning since we're on this topic. Rashi and the Ramban to figure out what is there actually a mitzvah to be Kadosh. The Ramban lists it
as one of the 613 mitzvahs in the Torah, to be kadosh. How you fulfill that mitzvah, we'll talk about in a second. Rashi does not. Rashi says when you separate from the averos, when you don't do averos, when you don't do sins, you become kadosh. It's the natural consequence of following the laws of the Torah. That is Rashi. You do the mitzvahs aseh, you do the mitzvahs los aseh, says Rashi, you become kadosh. So it's not a mitzvah in and of itself. It's a consequence of following the other mitzvot. The Ramban, Nachmanides, not Maimonides, not the Ramban, but Ramban disagrees and has a very famous piece where he says, no, actually there is a mitzvah in itself called be kadosh. How do you fulfill it? What do you do? So he says, you separate from things that are permitted. You moderate your lifestyle. In other words, according to Rashi, you could be a very, very holy person, follow the mitzvot, but for dinner you could have 6 pizza pies, 9 bottles of wine, and, you know, and act like a bum. You know? According to Rashi, you're fulfilling the mitzvah. I mean, he probably wouldn't recommend it, but technically you're doing the mitzvot. Says the Ramban, it is possible to be, and these are his famous words, a naval bereshut haTorah. A naval, a disgusting person, bereshut, with the permission of the Torah. A person could be a naval, a terrible person, but with the Torah's permission. So a person can wash their hands and buy kosher pizza and have kosher wine, and the pizza was made by holy Jewish women, and the cheese came from holy cows, whatever you want to say, and everything was fantastic. Says the Ramban, if you overeat on that pizza, you didn't moderate yourself, you've become a naval. But with Rashi the Torah, you didn't break the Torah, you just act in a non-moderate way. So that's the Ramban. It says moderation, and that itself actually lists as one of the 630 mitzvot. So when the Torah says, be holy, when the Torah says, be holy, he's saying, actually, that's something you can do. So there's two different ways to look at it. The Rashi says, stay away from the mitzvos. Stay away from the mitzvahs. Lo saseh. Don't do sins. You become holy. Because the Ramban, stay away from the mitzvahs aseh. In other words, Rashi, Ramban. Rashi says, stay away from the mitzvahs lo saseh. Don't do sins. You become holy. Ramban says, that doesn't make you holy. That makes you Jewish. That's not a matter of Kedusha. That's just being Jewish. He says there's an extra mitzvah called Kedusha, and that is not to be a naval brush of Torah, and stay away from things that are permitted, or moderate them. Live a life of moderation. Okay? So the ultimate Kedusha in this world is actually, in this world, is Shabbat. And we referred as well to a Vilna Gaon, which I didn't bring down, but I told you about, that the first time you see a word in the Torah, that's where it gets its power from. Its source of power and its recognition comes from that context. So when it comes to the word kadosh, we see it many, 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 many times. But the first time it appears is in relation to Shabbat. Okay? And that's why it says in the Gemara, Kedusha the Kadosh Baruch Hu, or Kedusha Shabbat, Kedusha Yisrael, Shloshtan Chashuvos Ke'echad. We have three things that are pulled out. They are the Kedusha of God, the Kedusha of Shabbat, the Kedusha of the Jewish people, and they are all considered one. They are three, but they are actually one. Right? Kedusha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makasiv. Where does it know that there's Kedusha of God? Because Isaiah the prophet says, V'ata Kadosh Yoshev Tehilos Yisrael. Right? We say those words every single day. Baba Tato V'Seinu. So Hashem is the ultimate Kedusha, the ultimate separate entity, if you will. Of Kedusha Shabbos, Makativ, what do we say? That's what it says on Shemos. Ushmartem et Shabbos ki kodesh ulachem. You should guard the Shabbat because it is holy. And Kedusha Yisrael, Makativ, and how about the Jewish people? Kadosh Yisrael Hashem, Reishis Tuvasa. That's Jeremiah the prophet refers to the Jewish people as the holy nation. Okay? Says the Vilna Gaon in Igeres Hagra. This was a letter that he wrote to his children, which is quite a long letter, before he was about to move to Israel. Ended up being he couldn't actually go, or he went and had to come back. But he wrote like a final letter. This is a... And we're on page 93 still. And halfway down he says, Kedushat Shabbat Gedola Ma'od. The holiness of Shabbat is very, very great. It is full of Kedusha. And actually, he says that it is Kodesh Kedashim. It is the Holy of Holies. That is how we define Shabbat. Kodesh Kedashim, the Holy of Holies. Now that's unusual, because we know the Kodesh Kedashim was a place. A place where the Torah and the Luchos were kept. So as we mentioned at the beginning of the course, if you remember, that's true. The Kodesh Kedashim was a place, but it's also a time. So that means we have the ability to sanctify time and space. We have the ability to sanctify time and space. The Beit HaMikdash was the ultimate pinnacle of Kedusha of space, and Shabbat is the ultimate pinnacle of Kedusha of time. Okay? So we are going to compare those two. Remember, we should remember, that all the laws, the negative laws of Shabbat, come from the Beit HaMikdash, right? The Mishkan, actually, in its creation, which eventually became the permanent place. So the two are not just, like, philosophically connected, right? Or theologically connected. They're actually connected in terms of halacha, right? Remember, we learn what not to do on Shabbos from the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, and eventually the Beit HaMikdash. That's why it says, the brother of Avram Grozinski, and it says, Kedusha Shal Shabbat, he Kedusha Shal Beit HaMikdash. The two are the same. Ki al shneihem Nemar, Toar Echaba, Bracha Shlishi, Shal Berachat HaMazon. If you look in Berachat HaMazon, in the grace we say after meals, you'll see that in the third blessing, there is this connection made. Habayit HaGadol V'Kadosh, V'Yom Zeh Gadol V'Kadoshu. See, what do we say? We talk about the great and holy house, referring to the Beit HaMikdash, V'Yom, and this day, Gadol V'Kadosh is also holy. So even in our prayers, we connect these two things of the Beit HaMikdash and Shabbat. And what is the underpinning connection? What connects them? Kedusha, holiness. That is the connective tissue between both of them. Turn over the page. Yes. No. No, that's Berachat HaMazon.
So I don't know. Can you say again?
So the connection is that both, what's the same word is used to describe both the Beit HaMikdash and Shabbat, this great and holy day. So what is the connection that connects them? So he's saying that is Kedusha. Why are we connecting this day, one of the 7 days of the week, and the temple, the Beit HaMikdash? Why are they connected? One is a place, and one is the seventh day of the week. He's saying, I'll tell you what connects. The connection is Kedusha, Kadosh. The connection is Kadosh. That is the connective word. He's gonna add to that a bit more. And this, by the way, ladies, is one of the problems we have in the Jewish world today, as your assignments will be discussing as well, is that what's happened is that people have given less recognition to Shabbat and put more emphasis on the Jewish holidays. Right? They put more emphasis on, you know, Pesach and the other Jewish holidays, you know, even secular Jews. Right? They like ignore Shabbat, but they'll put effort into it. Now, I'm not saying they should ignore Jewish holidays. Jewish holidays are important as well. But the Kedusha of Shabbat is superior to the Kedusha of the Jewish holidays. Okay? This is very, very important. This is a lesson we have to be spreading. And this is not my opinion. Kedusha Shabbat, Yoke, this is the Vilna Gaon, the Siddur of the Gra. Top page 94. Kedusha Shabbat, Yoter Gedolim, Kedusha Shar Moadim. The holiness of Shabbat is greater than the holiness of the Jewish holidays. And I'm including Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well, by the way. Kefisha Anu Omrim, but Tfilat Leil Shabbat. What do we say? V'kidashto mikol zmanim. You made this day holier than all other zmanim. What zmanim mean? Times, that's right. The time itself was made kadosh. God made time holy. What does that say? Hem moadei kadosh, kulam kedushim, vasur malacha. We know the Jewish holidays, you can't do malacha on them. Ach Shabbat mekedusha yoter. Shabbat is great, and actually you can do some malachot on Jewish holidays. You can do, except Yom Kippur, right? You can do Ochel Nefesh. Yom Kippur, we said, does reach the level of Shabbat, because both are referred to as Shabbat Shabbaton, Sabbath of Sabbaths, right? The plural. So over there, we say that's true. Yom Kippur, you can't do any melacha. On Jewish holidays, you can do ochel nefesh, you can make and prepare kosher prepare food. Obviously kosher food. Okay. What is the proof to this? What is the proof to this? So the proof to this, the halachic proof to this, is actually where you wouldn't expect it to be. And that's the amount of people who call up to the Torah on the Jewish days, holidays, Yom Kippur and Shabbat. And that's the Lavush. And it's the Lagabe Krita Torah, Rosh HaChodesh. Right? So during the week, we call up three people to the Torah. On a Monday or Thursday, right, we have three aliyot to the Torah. Okay? On Rosh Chodesh, we call up four people to the Torah. On Jewish holidays, we call up five people to the Torah. On Yom Kippur, we call up six people to the Torah. And on Shabbat, we call up seven people to the Torah, not including the Maftir. Okay? He goes, Rishon, Sheni, Shlishi, Revi, Chamishi, Shishi, and Shvi. Seven people call up the Torah. That actually is not just a cute thing to do, right? Because we have more people in synagogue, let's call them up. It could well be more people in the synagogue Yom Kippur. The reason is because the holiness of the day means I need more people coming up to the Torah. Okay? So the more people get aliyot means the holy of the day. So during the week it's just three. And that jumps up and up progressively as you get holier, because Rosh Chodesh is more holy than the weekdays. Jewish holidays are more holy than Rosh Chodesh. Yom Kippur is more holy than Jewish holidays. And Shabbat's holier than all of them. So if anyone asks you what's your proof, that's actually the proof text to this idea. You following? So Jewish holidays is only five, he says. And he goes up and up and up and up and up. Okay? Jump to the bottom. Let's do a bit more, then we'll discuss it. Rav Tzadok says, Shamakor l'kach shashabbat hi shorish kol kedusha b'olam. And that's why it's Rav Tzadok. It wasn't the Vilna Gaon. And he says, that's why Shabbat is the root of all holiness in the entire world. It's not just holiness for Judaism. The entire world sustained through holiness, through kedusha. He says, all the holiness in the world, no matter what it is, comes from Shabbat. If the Jewish people are holy, it's because of Shabbat. If Yom Kippur is holy, because of Shabbat. If Eretz Yisrael is holy, that's because of Shabbat. Humam asher pam rishon shenizkar b'Torah. Mila kedusha, because the first time you see the word kedusha, so I quoted this wrong before, I apologize. It's not the Vilna Gaon, it's Rav Tzadok HaKohen, right? He says the first time you see the word, the Mila kedusha, who ate al yom Shabbat. Miyad b'briyat ha'olam b'pasha b'reish, which says in Pasha b'reish, right at the beginning of the Torah, v'yavarech, and Hashem blessed the holiday Shabbos day, we spoke about that. V'yikadesho so, and he made it holy. Actually, the first time you see the word bracha is not in relation to Shabbat, it's in relation to the fish that Hashem blessed in order to have riboy, plenty of them. But the first time you see kedusha is in relation to Shabbat. Right? V'galti shebechol davar v'inyan, but makom shemila zo nizka pam rishon. And he goes, I received, he said Rav Tzadok, that the first time you see a word mentioned, b'Torah, shamu shorish inyan, that is the root of the inyan. I mean, it's a Kabbalistic idea, but if you look at that first time it's mentioned in the Torah, that's the root of it. The kain shorish kedusha, sheyeshno b'yolam, and all the root of all holiness that exists in this world, kedusha yom Shabbat comes from Shabbat. She kedusha kviya v'kaima, right? It's a kedusha of holiness. Shekeva Hashem yisbarach, because Hashem set it into this world b'olama zman miyuchad, a separate time. Lebracha for holiness, for blessing, kedusha and holiness. She baruchunu, because Hashem blessed it and made it holy. So that which is holy can give off holiness. That is the premise. Hashem blessed it and made it holy. That means it is a source of blessing, but it's a source of holiness as well. So if you want to be holy and you want to be separate and live an elevated life, Shabbos is the way to get there. Just is. Yeah. And that takes us to page 95. So it says, now that's actually why you keep Shabbat. Ushmartem ha-Shabbat ki kodeshi. You should guard the Sabbath because it is holy. What does that mean to say? Magid sheha-Shabbat mosefe kedusha l'Israel. You see, it's not just the day itself is holy, therefore it is holy. It's the Jewish people need to be holy. So where do we get our holiness from? By going to Shabbat. Okay? It brings holiness onto those who keep it, who are shomer it. Those people who are shomer the day itself, they themselves become holy. So it doesn't just like, you're not just like keeping it. It's like a car wash. You go through it and it holyizes you. Whatever the verb is, I don't know. Right? It makes you holy. Right? You don't just like, it's not static. Just passing through it, it makes you holy. And it's something you can feel. Something you can feel, you know. I mean, I deal with people who keep Shabbat for the first time, you know, many people, and they're like, this is a completely different Shabbat. I mean, when they keep it in totality. Friday night is a nice start, and a good start, but people who really immerse themselves in the entire 25-hour experience, they say they actually feel different. There's a inherent something that they get out of it. Yeah, anyone? And I met a person who kept Shabbat for the first time?
Yeah, my
aunt
converted.
So.
But
what?
My aunt converted.
Your aunt converted, yes.
So when she spent Shabbat with us, she kept, like, there's like a rule that you have, like, if you're in the midst of converting, you have to, like,
break Shabbat. Yes, we spoke about that, that's right. Ochem Shabbat Chamita. No one keeps Shabbat except Jewish people. Remember, that was the Beini Uvbeni Bnei Israel. So they'll start to keep some kind of Shabbat, but they have to be Mechal Shabbat until they finally keep Shabbat. That is true. Yeah.
And she always says, like, that stuck with her. Because, especially, she says when she lit the candles for Shabbat, she felt like at that moment, like, she was Jewish.
Yeah.
One thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've
heard that many, many times. A convert who has kept Shabbat, you know, like, until their full conversion, they kept a little bit. And then they say their first Shabbat is like a. It's almost like they're entering to the Jewish people. Excellent question. Excellent question, Chaviva. Excellent question. Chaviva is posing a very good question, which actually was posed a long time ago. Right? The Talmud and the prophets refer to it. Mitzvah Hashem Belumada. There's certain mitzvot, if you do them constantly, you don't get much out of them. Right? You see this among people who grew up Sabbath observant. Right? And then eventually you do the mitzvah again and again. I mean, you can't compare the first time a Jewish boy puts on tefillin, for example, and the 100th time, or the 1,000th time, or the, you know, whatever it is, you know? There's no doubt about it. So what's the solution to this? So actually, there is a solution. And by the way, this doesn't just apply to Shabbat. It also applies to Shabbat, very much so, but applies to all mitzvot, and all of life, actually. And the advice we're given to bring back inspiration about a certain mitzvah which is becoming very regular to us, which is a natural thing, a natural phenomena. I mean, even physically, we're made up of this, right? Think about your five senses. You touch something, you feel it, and then a few moments later, you don't feel it anymore, right? Or you hear something, like that car alarm, when it comes on, and then it becomes like regular, you don't notice it anymore. It's like white noise. You smell something. At first, it smells terrible, right? And then you're there for a little bit. You don't smell anymore. The whole body is set up, interesting enough, that eventually things become regular to us. Right? That's the human condition. So there's nothing wrong with it per se. That's just the way we are. So how are you meant to, by the way, when the car alarm goes off, you know, those annoying Manhattan car alarms, when do you hear it again after it goes off? When it goes off again. Right? It goes on, and then you're like, 1 second, something's missing. Right? It's like what's called white noise. Eventually, it like goes into your subconscious. You don't realize it anymore. So what are you meant to do? So what they say is, if you learn about it and you investigate it, it will once again go back to its original. If you learn the laws of it, you learn about it, you're bored of, I don't know, lighting candles. Learn about it, read stories about it, read information, learn halacha, whatever it is, learn halachot of it, and suddenly you get reintroduced to it. And it becomes exciting again. So it's a constant process. Like you just said, you know, you just shared an interesting about your aunt who converted, and she said the first time, and many people hear that and they'll be like, wow, you know what, maybe I can get more, just that one piece of information suddenly is like, whoa, maybe there's something to it. So by learning it, it reintroduces it into you and breaks the regularity that comes with doing an action again and again. By the way, that's true in life in general, right? If you get, some people just get bored, you walk around the city, whatever, you go walk a certain, you should change your route. I heard someone say that once. If you find yourself doing something in a wrong way, do it differently. Don't become regular in life in general. You wanted to say something?
No, you're
okay. That seems to be the advice from Chazal, but it's a natural thing. Nothing to feel guilty about. It's very, very natural. By the way, as a side point, since we're on the topic, they see one of the great things about Aaron the High Priest, Moshe Rabbeinu's older brother, was that he lit the menorah every single day. In the Beit HaMikdash, there was a menorah, right? And it was lit every single day. And he would go, and he would scoop out the old wicks and scoop out all the black and the ashes in there. He would clean it out, and he would put the new lights. And if you look over there, they say that the first time he did it, and the 100th time, and the 365th time, and the 2000th time he did it, he was just as excited about it. So you look at it, you're like, of course he's lighting the menorah, right? It's most in the temple, and he's the high priest. You know, of course, and the answer is no, it's natural that a person can, even an act like that, which is considered so holy, so special, lighting the menorah, it gets boring after a while. And they say that his ability somehow is that the 5th time he did it, and the 1000th time, and the first time, they were all the same. He was as excited about it as the first time. And I hear among Bali Tshuva, the first time they learn a piece of Gemara, and the first time they learn a piece of Torah, and they're all this fantastic. And then after a couple of years, it's like not so exciting anymore. And they think there's something wrong with them. And they'll say, there's something wrong with me. Maybe I'm not, you know, they don't, you know, I'm not such a big believer anymore. And the answer is, it's not true. It's just you have to constantly reinvigorate yourself. Or as I like to say, rejuvenate. Right, your connection to that act, that thing, that person. And it's true for life. It's true for marriage. Right? It's true for studying. It's true for anything. Yeah? Okay. So there's a book called The Pele Yoetz, written by Rav Papo, I believe, a great Kabbalist who lived in Constantinople, and he, in this book called The Pele Yoetz, lists a number of topics by letter. He gets the letter Kuf, and he discusses the idea of Kedusha, and what does he talk about when he gets to the chapter on Kedusha? It's like a page, just one page on different letters, you know, goes from Aleph right through the Taf. So he talks about Kedusha holiness, and he says, Vim kol ha-mitzvot, shorei Kedusha al adam. If we know that doing any mitzvah is going to bring holiness upon you, al achas kama v'kama, how much more so bishmirat Shabbos, keeping Shabbos. Right? So he's learning out what we call a kal v'chomer. If this is true over here, how much more so over there? So he says, mitzvah have the ability to bring kedusha upon you, how much more so? Because Shabbat is called Mikra, is called Kadosh. Actually, we say, or Mikra Kodesh. We announce it as Kadosh. So Shabbat is going to do it a lot bigger and faster and in a bigger way. Okay. So why is this? How's this working? So in order to do this, let's get a little bit deeper. I need chalky. Ah, we have chalk. Good. I want to tell you, and I think some of you have been in my introductory class, have seen this before, but I want to tell you how time itself works. So the word for time, because we're discussing time now, right? Time is kadosh, yeah? So the word for time is zman, right? We discussed already, zman. Now the word zman, which is time,
has another meaning.
Does anyone know another Hebrew word that relates to the word time? Did we do this in this class before? We did, right? What was it? What was it? We said it was zimun.
Zimun. Zimun means to prepare.
Is there another song?
Zemer. So zman means to prepare because time is, was,
and is prepared for us. It's prepared and ready to go.
So Rabbi Dessler, which is the next piece we're going to see inside, but I want to give you this beautiful introduction to it because it applies to the entire year, says that what's going on is that you travel through time. Actually, there's a book written in his name called Sanctuaries of Time. You can visit holy places, but you can visit holy times. Just like you can go to the Kotel, it's a holy place. A person used to go to the Beit HaMikdash, it's a holy place. It's a place you visit. You can visit a place, you can also visit a time. Okay? And the analogy he gives, which I like very, very much, is a train going through stations during the year.
Okay? So a train is going to go and travel, and it's going to follow a different route, right? And go, right, and move, and you travel like that, okay?
So he says the entire year is actually like this. You are on a train, you're traveling through time. You travel through it. And interestingly, the word for a year is a
shana.
What does shana mean? What does shana mean? It means year, but it also means to repeat, we said, yeah? Because the year repeats itself as in a spiral. Right? The year is constantly repeating itself. So you're constantly going through. The year itself always stays the same. But the months change. How do you see a month in Hebrew?
Chodesh. The word chodesh also means, what's chadash?
New.
Same word. Must be related. Right?
Because the month is always new. There's a newness that comes with the month. Rosh Chodesh. The beginning of newness. So the year is to repeat. It repeats itself. But the month itself brings a new energy. Right? Every month has its own energy that comes with it. Are you following? So you travel through the year, you travel to different destinations along the way,
right? Whether it's Pesach, then Shavuot, right? Then Rosh Hashanah, then Yom Kippur, then Sukkot. You travel, you pick up.
He says each place you get to, each tachana, each station, each tachana, he says, you come and you'll get something else from that place. Okay? We haven't finished, but yes, Chaviva?
But in Hebrew, doesn't the Shanot also mean to change?
It does mean to change as well. It does mean to change. It means to repeat. But it means to change as well. A Shinui, right? Rosh Hashanah, they say, is Rosh Hashin, the beginning of change as well. Yes. Because you should change as the new year begins, I guess. Yes. But the word Shanah here, in this context, means to repeat, because it just follows itself. Yeah. Okay? But each month is different, right? We sanctify the month because it's a new reality. So he's like, so when you get to various places along the way, you grab something and you move up. Okay? So that's the concept of traveling through time. Okay? Until you get to the very... Each month starts and boom, there's a new beginning. And boom, there's a new beginning. And each holiday that's in within the month is going to give us something not always good. Pesach is good, right? Sukkot is good. Shavuot is good. Tisha B'Av is not good. But it's also a time along the way. There's also bad times that you have to get through, right? And the mitzvah you do relate to that time. Pesach is freedom time, you need matzah. Shavuot is Torah time, you learn Torah. Tisha B'Av is time of mourning and destruction, so you fast. Yom Kippur is kapara time, so you fast and you pray. Right? Rosh Hashanah is newness, the beginning of the year, right? So you sound the shofar. Each mitzvah comes and reflects what that thing, what that mitzvah is. But it's related to the time itself, which is why we mentioned before, Avraham Avinu kept Pesach, right? By eating matzah. How could that be? That's Rashi on Chumash. How could that be? So we said, because the time itself is time of freedom. Right? We learned this before. Yeah, those who've been in my classes before? Those who haven't, that's the idea for you. Okay. So now let's bring it down to our topic. So you do that on a monthly basis. On a monthly basis, there's a chodesh, there's a chadash. But within that, there's a microcosm, if you will, which is going through it like that, which is Shabbat. So you have one Pesach a year, you have one Rosh Hashanah a year, you have one Yom Kippur a year, but you have 53, I think it works out the way it works out, 369, right? Shabbat a year that come through and keep repeating themselves. Yeah? What that does is, and this is the punchline, since it's all repeating itself, when you keep any one particular holiday, you're relating to the one that came before it, yeah? You with me? So it goes like that. Because you get to the same point, but a year later. Does that make sense?
Can you repeat that, please?
That again. This is actually very, very important. I'll do it again. What's going on, Rav Dessler says, is that here's the first of a Pesach, okay? Here's the first of a Pesach. So I move a year forward. So let's say that's a year, let's go with the Jewish year, right? 2, 4, 4, 8. Okay, the year we left Mitzrayim. That's the first one we celebrated Pesach as a people. Okay? So here's the second one. This is also Pesach. This is Pesach number 2. And then here's Pesach number 3. So we say, Bayamim Ahem, Bazman Hazer, right? See now, listen. Same with, we say with Purim, same with Hanukkah, right? It happened then, but this is the Zman. Get me? Bayamim Ahem, in those days, but Bazman Hazer, but this is the time. So that's how we sanctify it in this time. Which means, although something happened in the past, once you get to this point of the year, you're in that place. Which means if I'm over here, right, 3,327 years later, right, in 5, 7, 7, 6, I'm in the same place as that original Pesach. Which means I'm in that place, but I'm not in that place. I'm not in Egypt. You're not in the place, but you're in the time. So you're not connected to that time. They went free, you go free. You're not commemorating the past. You are reliving the past. You're in it. The train has got to the same place. Are you following? So every holiday is going to help you locate to that original place. Okay. Which explains why Avraham Avinu could keep Pesach. Because he was able to tap into the fabric of time. And understood that this is freedom time. Oh, what do we eat? Freedom time? Matzah. The event hadn't happened yet. Which means, by the way, you don't keep Pesach because the Jewish people left Egypt. The Jewish people left Egypt because it was Pesach. It's the other way around. It's a flip. Yeah?
Does that mean that with each holiday, the way you're describing it, the holiness from each holiday passes through each year? Or
it's in the time itself. It's that time. You pass through it. You pass through the time itself. It's there, it's static. Hashem sets it up that way. Which, by the way, makes it very difficult to understand how you have Jewish holidays like Purim and Hanukkah. Because that's not part of the fabric. Those events happen much later. And the rabbis try very, very hard to say, well, no, actually, this was the original intention. Somehow it's encoded. And look in the Torah. You'll see references in the Torah itself. We'll discuss next semester Purim. And you'll see, they'll say, oh, where's Esther in the Torah? Esther in the Torah, right? Where's Mordechai? Where's Haman? And they'll find a location. How can that be? It has to be encoded in there. To create a time is not easy. Create a Jewish holiday, everyone accepts. That's a big deal. You have to say it was part of the original creation of time. And they do the same with Hanukkah. And they'll count 25 words in the Torah and say, or, and they'll find different ways to do it. Why are they doing that? Why are they still making it? Because you're saying that time is something. You say time is something. It's a real thing. Yeah? So what's that going to do with Shabbos? So Shabbos occurs every single week. So one second, if that's true, then where do I go when I visit Shabbos? Where am I going to? Pesach, I hear I'm going back to Pesach, right? Sias Mitzrayim. Shavuos, I'm going back to Har Sinai, right? Rosh Hashanah, I go back to creation of the world. That's right. Maaseh Bereishis. So you get to that point called Shabbat at that time. It has to be that exact time. That's why we Jews are obsessed with time. I'm going to bring Shabbos. It'll be so much easier. Every week, Shabbos at 7 p.m. I'm going to do that. We'll see it at 3:51, 4:28, right? 6:12. Right? And oh, it's in. After Shkia, oh my goodness, you're going completely crazy. You know, why is that? Because you've entered the, you're there. Whether you like it or not, you've entered into that space. Now, when it comes to Shabbos, this is an even stranger thing. You can actually get into that space earlier. Tosefa Shabbat, make Shabbat come in earlier. Which is, by the way, a mitzvah to do. You don't have to do it, but it's a mitzvah. You can actually, the other holidays, you can't do that. You're not obligated. You can't do it, you're not obligated to do it. You don't bring Sukkot in early. You don't bring Pesach in early. Pesach comes, then you sit after Shkia, then you go after Seitz Kalavim, then you make the bracha, the same thing. But Shabbos, you're able to maktim, you can actually bring it in earlier. You can actually force the holiness into the weekday. Yeah.
I'm a little confused, because before, didn't we say that the time we go back to is when we left Egypt?
For Pesach.
Yeah, the machlochet that we did. You know, the Rambam thing?
Yes. Because the Torah, because the Shabbat, you're right. Shabbat as an observant started at Har Sinai. Okay, and over there we connected it to Sias Mitzrayim, right? Because that was right afterwards. But what we're saying is you're actually going back to the original Shabbat. Where's the original Shabbat? Which we didn't keep. But Shabbat appears at the beginning of the Torah. Maaseh Bereishis. Right? Vayechol Hashem Avaras, Kosavam. So Hashem created Shabbat itself. So he's saying, you're not actually going back to Har Sinai. You're actually going back to the beginning of creation. With Pesach, you're not doing that. There was no Pesach in creation. Right? There were no Jews. Right? There was no mitzvah per se. But there was time. Because when Hashem created the world, I mean, this is the answer, He created time. Time is something. Time didn't always exist. It started with creation of the world. Part of that thing was called Shabbat, the seventh day. So Shabbat is now part of time. So when you keep Shabbat, you're actually going back to the beginning of time, beginning of creation. Does that make sense? You hear that? It's a beautiful and very powerful idea. Let's have a look at it inside. So you don't have to take my word for it. We've got to see the sources, right? And he says, this is good. If you see inside, I'll help you. Try to do it in the Hebrew. Turn to page 95. Right? This is Michtav Eliyahu. This is Rabbi Dessler. That's also the bottom. His name was Eliyahu Eliezer Dessler. No, we jumped the Paleoids. We did that. And now this piece comes from Rav Dessler in Michtav Eliyahu. So he's going to talk about it a little bit. He, by the way, he lived in the... I think he survived the Second World War. Moved to England, London, and then to Gateshead, and then to Eretz Yisrael. Panovich, and he wrote a lot. His books are translated to English. Well worth reading, really. Short essays, very powerful. And these ideas are in English as well. In a book called Strive for Truth. To be honest with you, I don't know today how anyone can be an observant Jew without studying some of his essays and ideas. Very, very seminal essays and speeches he gave. Very easy to understand, but very deep. So he says that Hashpa Kedusha, so this holiness that we're discussing, that's our topic, remember? This Hashpa, this abundance of Kedusha that comes down, Shemashpia Shabbat Bezmanenu, that we feel in Shabbat during our days, Hiot Hashpa is the same Hashpa, it's the same abundance, Atzuma Sheita B'Shas Bereishis, that came down in the first ever Shabbos, time of Bereishis. And he says like this, Ki, lozman over ladam, don't say that time passes a person, el adam noseh b'toch hazman, that a person passes through time. Don't say time passes over me. Right? In other words, I'm static and time washes over me. No. Time is static and you pass through it. Right? You go through time. Lamashal, for example, b'shabbat ha-rishona ki'ilu nikva tachana, the first ever Shabbos that happened at Bereishis, there was a tachana, a station, like a train station. Shishmasha, that was called Shabbat. Uvachol shavua shavua, and every single week, magia adam, a person reaches lo'ota tachana, that same station. Atzma, itself. He said, this is not a nice idea. This, you're actually in the same place. Mamash, ota shpa kedusha, that same kedusha that is mentioned in Maaseh Bereishis, is available every single Shabbat. Because that's what the time gives us. This is a very beautiful and important idea. Right? He's saying it's there. You get, you go, you travel into it. You travel through it, and it's going to get stuck to you. Ota shpa kedusha atzma shel shava bereishis. Okay? Turn over the page. Let's finish this off. Kedei lezachon lekabel kedusha shabbat. So how are you meant to get this? Ala dam levatel atzma lefnei Hashem Yisrach. So you nullify yourself for Hashem. As Rav Friedlander, who bases essays upon Rav Tesla. Nam sinu lemeidim. Kiet kedusha shabbat. Page 96 at the top. Kiet kedusha shabbat mekablim akarosh baruch hu kumo schar olam haba. Okay? This holiness of Shabbat received from Hashem is just like the merit of the next world. Im kein, ma mutal aleinu. So what are we going to do to get it? What do you do? So you pass through, but how do I get it? And he says, it's very simple. Lasot Shabbat. The Torah says, make Shabbat. Create it. Make it into something special. That's all you got to do. You do that, and it's going to come upon you. L'achin et atzmenu liyot ru'uyim. You have to prepare yourself in order to be at the level of mekablim, acceptors. Right? Alidei yitzirat kli hakibul shekedusha. Right? Like a vessel that is waiting to be filled. Ketzad alidei hamalcha kadosh baruch aleinu. Right? By making Hashem a king over us. Hamalcha kadosh baruch aleinu. Right? And he says, "Kasher ani mevatal etzmeinu." So when we nullify ourselves to Hashem's will by not doing malacha and refraining from malacha and doing the mitzvah asay, v'nale ledaragat havana gvoyoter, you will get to higher levels, right? You become holy by keeping Shabbat. Then you'll start to have, you'll be wiser, all the good stuff that comes with being a holy person. Shabbat etzem akolm itus, because everything comes from Hashem. Hashem is giving it to you. Hashem has endowed and keeps endowing that day, just like the original Shabbat of Maaseh Bereishis, every single Shabbat. Okay, it's another example, but not for now. That's how you'll receive this special holiness of Shabbat. And by doing that, you become a holy person, even during the week. That holiness sticks with you, and you take it with you into the rest of the week. Im achen zochim, if you merit it, manika Shabbat, ma zohar shala, so the shine and the brilliance, the zohar is not referring to the Kabbalistic book, it's referring to the shine and the radiance that comes from Shabbat, right? Shala gam al yamot shavua haba, it's going to work during your work, your days of the week as well. Your Sunday won't be the same, your Monday won't be the same, your Tuesday is not the same. Right? The days of the week change because you change. Shabbat's going to change you. And you go into the rest of the week, so it's there for you. Right? Letchonen l'shabbat haba b'yoter seit. V'kach ha-shabbat haba ta'anig yoter v'yoter b'tchin ha-tova. So it's like an ongoing cycle that just keeps getting more and more and more. It's a cumulative effect.
I have a question.
Yeah. Wait, I'm sorry, what?
If we're not supposed to be discussing during the rest of the week on Shabbat.
Oh, rest of the week on Shabbat, yes.
Why is there such an emphasis on how Shabbat makes the week so much more?
Because you have to be present on Shabbat and not think of weekly activities. That's how you honor Shabbat.
Yeah.
Not talking weekly activities or even trying to think them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, reading things which are weekday. And because of that, the Shabbat influences, changes the person, and then you get to bring Shabbat into the rest of the week. So you bring to the rest of the week. You have to be present on Shabbat itself. You're thinking, well, if it affects the rest of the week, I should discuss the rest of the week. No, that's the exact opposite. You don't want to discuss the rest of the week. You want to be focused on Shabbat, and then it'll come with you. But if you remove Shabbat from yourself on Shabbat, then it won't come with you. Right? And we have a metaphor for this as well, by the way, if you remember, which was the menorah. Remember we spoke about that? The menorah, the design of the menorah, it was three on one side, three on the other, referring to the 6 days of the week, and Shabbat's in the middle. And all the wicks pointed inwards towards Shabbat. Right? So there's an extra mitzvah during the week itself. I think actually there's a mitzvah every day to mention Shabbat. The various remembrances we have, one of them is to remember Shabbat. You don't have to remember Yom Kippur every day. You don't have to remember Pesach, well, CSM is right, you have to remember. You don't have to remember Pesach per se, right? But you have to remember Shabbat every single day. Because you're constantly going towards that place. Okay. The next piece is a little bit tricky. We'll do it next class, Nes Hashem. We did a lot today. Well done.